Hello and welcome to the Champ We Are United podcast, episode 75. My name's Matt. I'm your host for today's show, and I'm joined in the studio by, well, not many people, really. I'm joined, as you can tell from the chuckle, by Tangent Paul. Hi, Paul.
Well, I was going to say, actually, Matt, I'm going to apologize straight away because of course I forgot the goal wasn't here, so I didn't do the woohoo on the episode 75
Yeah, should we
as you
record it
said
again,
it.
or
So
I think we'll leave it as it is. Yeah,
I
fair
mean,
enough.
probably leave it. I'm sure the listeners can survive one pod without that exclamation on the episode number.
Exactly, 75, 75. So yeah, so it's another special episode
Yes.
today. Yeah, so Gull's not with us. He's busy doing other stuff. Ridders is still away on his tour of the Caribbean, completing Hedgehog Jones' life story. Simo's not
Searching out all the
Simo.
discotheques.
All the discos, yeah, all those Caribbean discos, some rum and punch, and Red Stripe,
Yeah.
and Simo's obviously back joining us, but he's not here today, so it's just the two of us
Yeah.
today. And yeah, we've got quite a guest, haven't we?
We have indeed. We have indeed. I must admit, it's going to be an interesting one, and let's hopefully we won't break the record for the longest pod in history.
Yeah, he's quite a character. What a person Paul Trevelyan is. Really
Yeah,
looking forward to this interview. Yeah, he's just done so much in his life.
we're just not going to be able to cover it all, but I'm sure we can get a good flavour. And who knows, like with many other great guests, it can be the first of Paul's visits to our pod.
Maybe. Yeah, so that's the episode today. It's an interview with Paul. But we're going to go over some feedback. So Melvin's musings from the last show, which
Yes.
was a show which Paul here, he did the interview with Pete
Yep.
with Gull.
Yep, I enjoyed that one. I thought we got some good insights on that as well.
It's always interesting that talking to a creator like we are today, and kind of getting a bit of the
Yeah.
inside information there. And but a creator with Pete who's actually got stuff still coming out, which is unusual for kind of football
Yes.
comics.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it's an excellent episode. So yeah, so some feedback from the Royal Rover site. We had Brian Dynan. He mentioned, what about interviews with Blackie Gray, Chalky White, Ginger Reddy, and Pinky Brown? Yeah, thanks, Brian. Yeah, I'm not too sure about all those characters. I recognise all
Yeah.
of them, but yeah, if they're available, we'll get them on the show. Yeah, if you've got a
Watch
number,
this space, I think we
watch
should
this
say that.
space. Exactly. Daniel Ruiz Tyson, so friend of the show, from the sh when Shorts Were Short
Yep.
podcast. He said he met Pete a couple of times back in 2003, and he came close to actually writing for that version of Striker. He
Yeah.
wasn't too keen on the 3D art. He's a traditionalist, which you kind of expect when you think of Daniel's podcast, 1954 to 1992. He's a
Yeah.
traditionist with shorts, so he'd be a traditionist, I think, with comic art as well.
Exactly. Do you know what? Just briefly on that, won't take too much time,
No,
but
go on.
it grew on me, put it that way. When I first saw it, I wasn't, but actually, for me, in the end, I thought it worked, but you kind of have got to persevere with it. But yeah.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah, absolutely. And then, yeah, the Melster himself, Muddy Mildred, striker comic
Yes.
creator Pete Nash, completes a hat trick of Champ We Are United podcast appearances. Perhaps buoyed by the long-awaited return of Simo, the Champ We Are United team showed no signs of fixture fatigue after their international exploits just a week ago. Mute button Matt was handed a deep line playmaker role. Tangent Paul was available after having his red card rescinded. Obviously, yep,
Yeah,
Peru came
well, the
back.
tribunal went well. Thank you, Adrian Lord, for speaking up once again.
Well, let's just hope you carry on the good behaviour. And you were deployed up front with Gull. The twin striker partnership really got the muddy best out of comic book Hall of Famer Pete Nash. Nash lifted the lid on the world of comics and his own striker career, a dramatic saga spanning some 34 years, which is almost as eventful as the legendary life of his comics central character, Nick Jarvis. As vividly as the Simon Ravenhill 3D illustration, Nashie recalled the bidding war that went on between some of the UK's most famous tabloid titles who vied to publish the Striker comic strip. Mr. Striker also spoke candidly about the meetings held with the great and the good in Los Angeles, as well as the photo shoot with Virgin entrepreneur Sir Richard Branson and some Page Three lovelies. Gosh, different times back then, wasn't it, Paul? Different
Yeah, I was gonna
times.
say, yeah, never know whether to comment on that or not, but I think sticking with the different times is a good summary there, Matt. Well done.
It covers a lot, a multitude of sins, isn't it, really?
Exactly.
So brilliant, brilliant stuff. Back in the net team. Yeah, thanks a lot. Cheers, Trevor. Great stuff once again. The Champ We United Facebook site, friend of the show, Adrian Lord, said another great podcast, guys. Thank you very much, Adrian. Ridders commented on it because he was on it. He said it was really great. And on Twitter, Lee Coulson, friend of the show, said, great episode as always, team. A midweek special, almost. Really interesting hearing about publications he didn't actually receive in Australia. So, yeah, interesting there. And the last bit of feedback was actually, this was on the previous show, actually, when Lee was on, as Hamish Whitter. He actually listened to, but he's actually based in New Zealand. So he found it particularly interesting, the show with Lee, because just like Lee, he had to wait for the
Similar
clubs to come over.
experiences, yeah.
And then there's a bit of exchange on Twitter, and he, you mentioned, I think it's 1982 World Cup, which New Zealand qualified for, and yeah, they got
Yes,
full
right, yeah.
TV coverage in New Zealand, which is probably what you expect,
Right,
really.
yeah, you'd expect that, yeah.
And that was interesting. There's a little bit of an exchange, and actually Hamish posted a picture of, he's still got the 1982 World Cup wall chart. He's got it framed. So that's
Do you
brilliant.
know,
It's really
actually,
cool.
yes, yeah, I think, I don't know if you
I think
shared
I might
that
have
with
sent it
something.
on
I
to
did
you.
see that. I, yeah, and I, do you know something? I somewhere, but not that one, you're going to believe I have actually got a 1982 World Cup wall chart as well, not from Royal Rovers. The Royal Rovers was a very good one, but I remember at the time I had one where you actually had sticky flags that you stuck in as well. So after the group stage, because there was a second group stage in 82, you actually stuck the nation's flags on the chart and then filled in the scores as well. And I always thought, because of course you know what it's like, that was my first World Cup, first wall chart. So if every World Cup I thought that was what wall charts were like, and I've never seen the like of it since, so I've always kept
Wow,
that one.
that's a really cool one. Yeah, I can't remember what I had.
Yeah.
Probably had something like the Sun or something like that. I can remember having one,
Yeah.
but wow, one with stickers. That's a posh one. That is.
Yeah. It
Wow.
was. It was. Yeah. Yeah. I know. Well,
Excellent.
I don't know how I found it. Maybe
Anyway,
I'll try and dig that out and do a scan of that for the site.
yeah. Well, I think I'll be interested. We will stick it on a poster or something. Yeah, great stuff. So that's all the feedback. Thank you, everybody. I'm glad you enjoyed the last episode. I hope you enjoyed this one. I guess it's time to go over. Shall we go over them? Oh.
I think it's time that we entered our fresh new studio for interviews. Yes.
Okay. Let's go over to meet Mr. Trevelyan now. And we're back, and it gives me great pleasure and indeed an honor to welcome, well, I don't know how to introduce this guy, but one of the most famous sports artists ever. But I mean, it just that just touches a small smidge of his career. We're joined by the great Paul Trevelyan. Hi, Paul.
Look, I'm telling you, you are the great. I'm not great. I'm not great. I never ever claimed to being great. But what I will say is that I was born during the war. And in 1937, Disney came out with Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. I went to see that film and I fell in love with the film. I fell in love with these characters, these seven dwarfs. And I still know them. It was Doc. There was Dopey, there was Grumpy, there was Happy, there was Sleepy, there was Bashful, and there was Grumpy. Now, there were the seven dwarfs, and it was Snow White. And I saw that film over and over and over again. And my mum and dad said, look, Paul, why do we have to keep taking you and see that film? I said, because they move. They're drawings, but they move. They move. I want my drawings to move. And then in 1937, I was taken. It's before the war, 1937. I was taken to see Tottenham play, and I saw the great Dixie Dean. It was a cup replay. And I couldn't believe the roar that he got when he came out. It was deafening. And when he scored, the roar went up again. And this is Tottenham. They were 3-1 up. Dixie had scored two goals. The crowd were happy. And then Tottenham came back and won 4-3. But the bottom line was, when I went home, I had a Spurs scarf. And I said to my mum and dad, Look, can I have Dixie sewn in the scarf that he sewed in Dixie? And I was Dixie Dean from that moment on. And I kept drawing Dixie Dean. But then when I saw the dwarfs, I changed to drawing the dwarfs. Then when the war broke out, and this is a big change in my life, when the war broke out and the GIs came over, they saw my drawings. My father had a grocery shop during the war, and we had on the wall my drawings of the dwarfs. And they saw that and they said, "Oh, you're a sunken drawer." And my dad said, "Yeah, he's a proper little artist." And he said, "Well, he like these comics, tell him to look at these." And I looked at Superman.
Oh, and wow.
I couldn't believe what I was looking at. This was drawings that I couldn't believe. I thought, I must be able to draw as good as that. They're real. I thought Superman was real. I thought Spider-Man was real. I thought these are the best drawings I've ever seen. I've got to learn to draw like that. And that is why the two comics that turned me down when I was young, you know, I was at college, was the Beano and Dandy, because they said, my drawings are not funny enough. But the comics I liked in them days was Film Fun, which had Laurel and Hardy. I thought, brilliant, Laurel and Hardy. Abbott and Costello. And they're brilliant. They were brilliant. And then I got Radio Fun.
I just want to say for listeners.
Norman Wisdom was in it.
And I never
then as a little lad trying to... I wanted to be as good as the artist in them books. But I didn't know that I was to eventually work with Norman Wisdom. And I told him that, how I got the comics. He wondered. And then, look, they had Arthur Askey in the book.
Yeah, Arthur Askey,
Oh, look, wow.
I worked with Arthur Askey. Now,
you got the flyers there,
I so much wanted to do comic drawing and get comics. I wanted to get into the comics. So I got into Hotspur, Roy the Rovers. Now, Roy the Rovers, people say, Paul Trevelyan, you're famous for Roy the Rovers. Always Roy the Rovers. Well, not only was I famous for drawing Roy the Rovers, but look, you're going to.
1968,
anyway. I mean this, you will really. Really love this. That is my drawing of the great man, and he is great because he's the only comic hero from that era when I was a little boy, the only comic hero who never lived but has never died. People still remember Roy of the Rovers. And the reason they remember Roy of the Rovers is because in this book, I actually did how to play the Roy Race.
Oh, you did that.
I love Roy Race. That's where Hyland got it from. He's been stealing these books and having a look at them. That's where that's where Gary Lineker got it from. But not only did I do that, and this is what makes me really proud, in the same book, How to Play Cricket. Look at that. How to Play Cricket. But name any book, any comic, I was in it. Hurricane.
Yes.
Oh, Hurricane.
Wow. Oh, come on. I loved that comic, Hurricane. And there I was. Great moments in sport. Joe Louis.
Wow, yeah.
There's the man.
The Brown Bomber.
Louis to Revenge.
Then, you remember this annual? Do you remember this comic? Sculpture.
Yes, Sculpture.
Oh, Sculpture is superb.
I must draw for Sculpture. I must. And so I drew for Sculpture. That's
a 1973 annual there,
There's Georgie Best when he was a young lad, and his tip of all these little tips. And his tip was, when I was a young lad, I used to play football and I used to have the ball tied to my foot. And to the ball, so the ball never got too far away. And if I tripped on the rope, I wasn't doing it right, so I had to keep it the same distance away as I was running at full speed. That's how he learned it.
So there you go.
This I loved. Do you remember Lion?
You're in the mill pool.
Peter and Dandy wouldn't have me, but in
don't know why.
No, they wouldn't. They said your guys are not funny enough. Look, Stirling Moss.
Oh wow.
Oh wow.
And look, when I met Stirling, I said, "Did you remember I did your last story in Lyme?" He said, "I do. In fact, I've still got a copy of the book." I said, "You're
just oh, wow. Brilliant."
I said, "Well, I bought one along because I knew you was here. I want, I'm gonna like," and he said, "I'll sign it to Paul Stirling Moss."
Wow.
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 I'm proud of that. That was Stirling Moss. That was Lyme. But then I did stuff in Lyme. I didn't mess about. Look. This was the big thing I did in Lyme.
Captain Condor.
Condor. Oh, famous.
Look, every comic, Eagle. All right, now this
Eagle.
Is the time of my life. I did Eagle, and I did it in Eagle. Can you catch a crook?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I've read about that. Yeah.
Can you catch a crook? And that's my work. Now, it was coming very close to those Superman, Batman comics I saw.
Yeah, right.
Close, yeah. Closer and closer. And then I said to them, look, what we should do, the kids are watching television and they got their heroes on television. Can we do some television heroes? And they said, no, never work. We don't want kids watching television. We want them going out, exercising, getting fit, playing football. We don't want them watching television. I said, no, it's Eagle, Paul. So I said, well, I'm going to work for TV21.
Oh, TV21, yeah.
Yeah.
I left Eagle and then the Munsters.
Oh, wow, oh, right, super. Yes.
Munsters, boom. I did everything for TV21. I did Burke's Law. I did the lot.
Burke's Law as well, yeah, I remember that.
I was striving, even when I was doing Roy Race.
How did you get that gig? Do you remember how you got that one?
Pardon?
How did you get Roy? Can you remember how you got Roy the Rovers?
What happened? I got a phone call. I was doing the Bobby Charlton story. We were getting it together.
It
was going to be massive, Bobby Charlton story. And I thought, I got a phone call. And they said, Paul, it's Fleetway here. I said, oh, good. What's the problem? They said, Roy the Rovers. I said, what's wrong with Roy the Rovers? Nothing's wrong. But we need an artist for the next one. 16 weeks. I said, oh, God, I can do it. They said, Paul, remember when you was at college, we used your work? I said, yeah, it wasn't the best then, was it? I said, yeah, it was still good, Paul. I said, I'll tell you what, I'll help you out. I'll do it. Even though I'm working with, I've just finished the Don Revy story, I'll do it. I did the drawings and I took them in and I said, what do you think? Dave Hunt was there and he said, they're good, but they're not comic. I said, what do you mean? What do you mean? This came back to me, haunted me from the days of Beano and Dandy. You got their bent noses, bandy legs, cubby body. Comic. I said, no, it's comic art realism.
Yeah.
Batman. That's what they did with Superman. That's why grown-ups go and see those films.
That's right.
They're real people. I'm making real. They said, we can't use it, sorry. I said, okay. I went away. I thought, that's finished. And then a week later, Paul, still in trouble, still can't find an artist, have to do it. But only for one. One storyline. How long? 16 weeks. Okay. But before the 16 weeks were up, on the radio, he thinks he's Roy the Rovers. That was a Roy the Rovers moment. Excited to come on the radio.
Oh, wow.
I was at Tottenham. These were my teachers, Alf Ramsey and Billy Nicholson.
Great, yeah. Great Alf Ramsey.
Yeah. I'm there at Tottenham. And Cliff Jones went past three players. And Danny Blanchard turned to Bill Nicholson and said, he thinks he's Roy the Rovers. And I thought, adults are reading it. Adults are reading it. And when it ended, they said to me, Paul, look at these letters. I said, But what do they mean? But I can't read, you know that. Well, but the bottom line is, Paul, they want his autograph. They think he's real.
Brilliant.
We're going to get Kerry Dixon of Chelsea. He looks like him. We'll dress him up as Roy Race, and he can sign the autographs. And he was signed. Race. When he signed his own name, they didn't want it. They just... I couldn't believe what was going on. I thought, I can't believe this. And I was really, really happy because, you see, the reason I went to the cinema so much. Yeah, what are you talking about? What? Come on, come on. As I was watching Dick Tracy on the television.
Yeah.
Over there, come on, they're not the magnetoid. Where was I? So I never talked English at school. Hey, look, Paul, we know you like to draw, but you've got to learn geography. And I said, sir, I don't know. I've never read a history book because there's nothing new in them. There's nothing. Yeah. He said, they're history. I said, oh, no. He said, well, geography. Do you know where Australia is? I said, no. But you don't know where Australia is? I said, can you walk there? Walk? Swim there. You go by plane. I said, it's a pilot's job. I don't know. Tell the pilot where it is. So they said, and all the kids laughed in school, my mates. And the teacher said, detention, one hour. And then at quarter to five, he come up to me and he said, I'm going to let you go early, Trevelyan, because I have to get to Bruce Grove Station and it's a 15-minute walk. And that's a Bruce walk. I said, no, it's not. It's 5 minutes. He said, Trevelyan, don't argue. I've been doing it for the last 10 years. It's 15 minutes. I said, it's five. He said, it's five? Show me five. I said, come this way. Now, Bruce Castle Park, I used to play football there, and I learned all the little ball cuts, every little one. And I took him, boom, 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 boom. I said, there you are. He said, I don't believe it. 5 minutes. Can you show me this way tomorrow? I said, yes, I'll show you this way tomorrow. He said, if you do, I'll excuse you from geography. You can sit in the back of the And I never had to do geography again. So, and because I couldn't read, I had to go to the cinema. And
yeah, okay. That's your education. Oh, Tarzan, yeah. Well, I hope it's Tarzan. Yeah, Tarzan, yeah.
I was the film stars. I was coming to school, boom, boom, boom. I was Charlie Chaplin. I was everybody.
Really like them.
And in the comics, what I was drawing, I couldn't read the bubbles, but I didn't I didn't have to read the bubbles because the drawings were so good. Even though, you know, you could follow the story just looking at the drawings. And I looked
That's
at
true.
And then I looked at that drawing and I could follow it. And then I'd read it and I'd be laughing. They say, but you never read. I said, I didn't have to. I knew what it was. I could see it. Look at the drawings. And they said, what? I said, did you see the dog? You never saw the dog in the drawing. No. You see the policeman sitting there? No. What? Look at what? All you read was
right. That because you were so focused on the actual illustrations.
Yeah. Things like that, which forced me to draw. I had to keep getting it right. Got to get this right. Got to get that right. And when they said to me at school, look, we've got a book here. It's Charles Dickens. And it's Great Expectations. I said, right. And we've got another book here. It's Oliver Twist. And he said to the class, which book do you want to read? Great Expectations? Oliver Twist. Oliver Twist! Oliver Twist! He'll put her hands up. I looked the book. I looked through the pages. I looked at this. Looked at the drawings. Lovely drawings. Great drawings. Made the story up. And when I closed the book up, the teacher said, have you read the book, Trevelyan? Yes, sir. And come and tell us a story. So I went and I told him my story. I liked it better than the real one. This is why I wrote Monsters, I wrote Roy the Rovers, so many of them comics that I've illustrated, I've also written. And then they said, right, Treasure Island's the next book. Come and Tell the Story. I told them Treasure Island. Oh, the kids loved it. Last one was Tale of Two Cities.
Oh, okay.
Cities had the guillotine.
Yeah.
My story. And the kids started to cry. And the teacher said, Sterling, end it. And that is the last one I did. But I remembered. And then when I left college, I never passed any exams ever. Because I don't read too good. I don't do joined up writing. I can't spell. I don't know my address. Don't know anything at all. All I know is how to draw. That's all I ever wanted.
You've done all right.
I was going to say, yeah. You've survived pretty well, Paul.
That is because...
Oh, wow. Look at that.
Sorry, for listeners.
Sorry, just to... Yeah,
Paul's, on, yeah, Paul's is showing on the screen a superb illustration of... That's Bobby Charlton, isn't it? And Pele. Pele. Oh, it's Pele. Colour.
Put their names, look. Here they are. Now, that's what I was struggling to do.
Wow, look at that. I mean, so...
Struggling to get to.
So and this is because Paul, you're known as the master of movement, aren't you? And when you look at those illustrations, you know, well, it really kind of strikes. They're not just static, are they? They are, but
what
moving.
You've said something that Milt Neal said. Now, because I did Snow White, my best friend was Pele. We got on really well with Pele, did a lot of work. I did Snickers with him, and it became the number.
Yeah.
And Pele was... I was doing a thing about the talking ball, and he was doing it with Milt Neal. And they said to me, Pele's having trouble doing Pele, but he can draw the dog, he can draw the ball, he can do everything, but he's struggling with Pele. Would you like to go along? So I went along, and Milt Neal's sitting there, and he said, there you are, that's Pele. I said, well, that's wrong. He said, don't tell me. Broke the pencil in half. There's your bit. You got the point. Show me. Right over his drawing. Bum, 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 bum. He looked at it. He said, you got it. You do Pele. So I'm doing. And he said to me, how did you learn to do this movement? You see, you cheat. I said, well, how you cheat? Well, if his arms should be there, you do it there. And if his legs should be there, you get it even higher. But he'd be off, slightly off balance. I said, he said, you do three movements in one. I said, that's right. A photograph is static. I don't work from photographs. They're static images. They're static. I change them. If I look at a photograph, I think, no, I don't want to do that. I'm going to change it. I'm going to have his leg high. I'm going to have this high. He said to me, I said, I would have made a great animator. I would have been. He said, all right. Couldn't you be an animator? Here's a little pad. Draw the Union Jack floating in the wind.
I said, all right.
Union Jack floating in the wind. You know the Union Jack. Draw it. I'm not telling you to draw Stars and Stripes, am I? I said, all right. I don't know where to start. He went. And he just flicked the pads, and the Union Jack went like that in the wind.
Yeah.
Never ever be able to do it. And then he said to me, when did you get interested in drawing? I said, as a little lad, 1937. I said, I was three, and I saw Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, and I wanted to draw the dwarfs because they moved. And he said, well, I worked on that film. That's just wow. Milton, isn't the animator. You check these names out. He said,
yeah, no, I've heard of Milton Neal. Yeah.
Said to Milt, I said, Milt, my party piece is Dopey. I draw Dopey, I promise you now, better than anyone. He said, better than anyone? I said, well, it's your... He said, is it my equal? He said, well, draw it. So I went, I said, how do you think of that? He went, he got his hat up like that. And if that takes you away from the face. Put his hat down, Paul. Now, look, I draw it. He did two circles.
Right.
Dopey. I've never drawn it since. That was 1984, World Cup in America.
Oh, really?
Until then, I was to draw him two or three times a week. Never drawn him since because I looked at Milt's, looked at mine, and I thought mine was the best. Milt's was real. That was the one I'd seen on the films. That was Dopey. Ah, unbelievable. And he was the best. Milt was great. But what he said to me was, what did you learn from the GIs? I said, they brought the Superman comics in, they brought the Batman comics in. And I used to look at the artwork. I said, I just wanted to get to that level. The drawings were so good. I really thought they were real. And he said, well, I'm telling you now, those animators are, listen to what he just said, those artists in comics, in Batman, Superman, Marvel, those artists are your Rembrandt, your Michelangelo, and your Rubens today. That's who they are. That's who they are.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's who they are. So I like to put these up and say, here we are. I'm in there with Rembrandt. I'm up there with my head. I never thought like that. All I want to do is to entertain people. See, I went to the Strand Gallery, and I was working for the Daily Mail, and I did the World Cup. People kept writing and saying, we'd like to buy that drawing, we'd like to buy that. So I said to the Daily Mail, what am I doing? Everybody's sending in letters, and they want to buy my drawings. I don't do drawings for sale. I've never sold any. He said, well, if you take the Strand Gallery in the Strand, we sponsor it. I said, what, take him out? He said, yeah, we sponsor it. You take it, but we want a third of the paintings.
Right, yeah.
Okay, I'll agree to that. So they said, right. And I said, what are you going to do? He said, we do the catalogue, we do the programme, we do the posters, we put the painting, we frame the paintings, put them on the wall, and then when they take them down, we do all the surface and get it all back to normal. I said, great, you're going to do all that? He said, yes, yes, yes. I said, brilliant. That's brilliant. I'll do it. And then I decided, I don't want to sell this drawing. I don't want to sell this. I don't want to sell Tiger Woods. I put 10 grand on this one, 20 grand on that, 10 grand on this. And then I waited. And I thought, I'm not going to sell them. They were my favorite eight. And they went on the wall, and I didn't go in on the first day because I thought, well, it's not going to be that busy. But my son went in with my wife, and they were there. And the Times had put in the pay till. That time, not the Times, the Daily Mail put in the pay till.
Yeah.
I worked for the Times. I tell you, that's just another story. And they put in the pay till. So they knew every drawing was sold. They would know they're going to get a third of it.
Yeah.
Who came in was the investors. I didn't know that. Now, investors walked in. I want that one of Bobby Moore. I want that one, Jack Nicklaus. I want that one of Tiger Woods. I want that one of Cassius Clay. And my son said, you better check the catalog. He said, why? He said, well, you see the price. He said, if you have to ask the price, can't afford them.
Exactly.
Wrap them up. I want them.
Wow.
And I lost them all. My favorite drawings gone. Oh. And a third of it went to the Daily Mail. Now that was a sad thing. But the people who I was drawing for, and I learned a big lesson, they came in and they said, Paul, can you sign this shoot? Paul, can you sign this Royal Rovers? Paul.
Yeah.
I've got this drawing. Can you believe it? It's Eagle. Can you sign this? Can you cut a quote? I've got this TV 21. Can you sign? I said, what about the paintings on the wall? Can't afford them, Paul. If I bought one of them, I'd have to give up my holiday, boy.
Yeah.
I can't afford them.
Why don't you do prints? Why don't you do prints we can afford? Do prints which are less than 100. Less than a ticket for a football match. You do your prints. And so, when I finished, I'd sold every painting. This is true. You can check with the Strand Gallery, they'll tell you. Every painting. And the woman said to me, this is your life now in galleries. I said, no, it's not. I'm going back now. I'm not going in galleries anymore. But, well, why not? I said, because I'm going to go back and draw for the fans, for the football fans. I said, I want to draw for the football fans. I want to draw for the boxing fans. I want to just draw. That's why I work for comics, and that's why I worked for. I've done Royal Rovers. I've done things I can't believe. I don't want to be in another gallery. I wasn't happy here.
It's a different world, isn't it? It's a different world. Yeah.
So I never. I've never gone back in the galleries. And she said to me as I left, "You're a wasted talent. You know that, didn't you?"
No, you're not. But yeah, go on.
But I'm happy. I'm really happy that comics are treasured. When I see how much the first Superman comic sold for.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You know that, millions, I really think.
Yeah.
It's true what Milne said. They are the Rembrandts. I look at some of those drawings and I think, I'm still struggling. I'm 90. I'm still trying to compete with them. They're still the best. They're still good. I mean, they are, their movement and what they get them to do, it's unbelievable. And it was all down to the GIs during the war. And it was during the war that because I couldn't read, and I got, when I left Tottenham Tech, my dad said, you're never going to pass an exam. You know that, don't you? I said, "That's right, Dad, because I can't read the questions. So how can I pass?" He said, "Well, don't worry about the questions. What I want you to do is when you get one on English, turn the page over and just draw Charles Dickens or someone. And when you get one on geography, turn it over and do Christopher Columbus. If you get one on history, turn it over, do Henry VIII, Winston Churchill, whatever you like." I said, "I'll do that." And I got the exam papers, do the drawings. And the Tottenham Tech said, "Called me in for an interview." I never had an interview for a job. And I went to the college. They said, "We've never seen anybody answer questions like this." "But why didn't you answer the questions?" I said, "You're right, I couldn't read them." "Well, we'll take you on here and we'll give you a place in the college. But what you have to do, and we mean this, you concentrate on your art. And we will make it, I promise you, we will, at the end of it, you will be able to read and write." I can't hardly read or write, but I did get an invite to Mansion House, and they said,
this famous story. Yeah, please tell us about this, Paul. Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. I thought, I can't believe this. I've got an invite to Mansion House. And they said, "Yeah." And it's a gold medal presentation. And I went there to Mansion House and sat there, and Prince Philip, and I watched him, and he did a talk, and I did a drawing of him in the programme, because it's a white page. And I opened it up and I said, "I'll do a drawing of him." Did a drawing. I finished it, and as I'm leaving, they said, "Stop." I said, "What?" They said, "You're not allowed to make notes when Prince Philip was talking. You're not allowed." I didn't do any notes. They said, "Show me the program. Come on." I opened it up. "This is wonderful. Oh, we'll take this out and we'll make sure this goes to the palace." And as I saw Prince Philip, and he was standing there talking to some people just before he left. And I went up to him and I said, because I was used to going up to people. I mean, at Tottenham, I went over to see Bill Nicholson and Alf Ramsey. They were the ones who taught me how to draw.
What sort of age were you, Paul? Sorry to interrupt. What sort of age were you at this time when you were at Mansion House? How old were you?
Well, I'm at the Mansion House. I'm 19, I think. About
wow.
1952. I was born in 1934.
Yes, 18.
I was 18. Wow. So I said to him, "I enjoyed the speech." He said, what do you do?" I said, "I'm a Tottenham Tech." I said, "And I'm also, I work for the Weekly Herald and I work for the Lily White magazine." He said, "What do you know about cricket?" "It's the Coronation Ashes next year." I said, "Dennis Compton plays for Arsenal as well as Middlesex. So I start with Dennis Compton, then you've got Len Hutton, and then you've got Bill Edrich, and then you've got Godfrey Evans and Alec Bedser. That's enough." "About the Australian team," I said, "you've got Hassett, you've got Limbrough, you've got Miller. That's enough. Make sure those are in the paper."
Wow.
He said, "Make sure those are in the paper." I said, "That is a challenge. Yes, it is a challenge." And he said, you must treat every obstacle as a hurdle to be overcome. Jump to it. Just like that. Jump to it. Oh, I left.
Wow.
I went away. I said to my mum, I saw Prince Philip. She said, yes, what else happened? I said, they stopped me. Put my program away. She said, oh, no. I gave me another one. She said, oh, you're in trouble again. I said, yeah, I'm always in trouble, mum. I'm always in trouble. Buckingham Palace. Prince Philip loved it. And he got into all the papers. All the papers. I thought, can't believe this. And then I got the Times. We'd like you to do some political drawings for us, Mr. Trevelyan.
Oh, said, yeah.
Do the cricket, no, and political, come on. And then the Daily Mail, and I thought no one was ever going to ask me to do the cricket. And then suddenly, Sporting Record came on. They said, Paul, we'd like you to draw. We've just seen your piece, it's in the supporters thing in Sporting Record. And they'd mentioned you got a letter from Buckingham Palace. And Prince Philip said it was a wonderful piece of art. I said, that's right. He said, well, what would you like to do for us? I said, the cricket, Coronation Ashes. They said, right. And I did all the England team and all that. And I got them. They signed it. Ed, but
right.
Compton signed it. Alec Bester signed it. So I did them all. And then I thought, wait. And I went back. And they said to me at the college, what happened with Prince Philip? I said, I've got a letter from Buckingham Palace, sir. Have a look. He said, really? I said, yeah, have a look. And he opened it up and he said, I can't believe that. I cannot believe that. Because you put that's down to us. That's down to us. And do you know, you're leaving here. I said, I know. And we've got you the best job you could do. It's designing wallpaper for Sanderson's. Oh. I wanted a job on a comic. Now, wallpaper, and I'm walking along through South Audley Street and I saw a show of Leslie Honig. And I looked in the window and this unbelievable. I saw a chair and I remember Tale of Two Cities and it had cabriole legs, but a modern top. And I thought, that's not right. And I'm looking at it and I'm still trying to work it out. And then suddenly the door opened and the lady came out and she said, and I didn't know who she was, but that was Leslie Honig's wife, but she was formerly Ramsay MacDonald's private secretary. She came out and she said, you're in there for 10 minutes looking in the window. Is there a reason? I said, yes, this is the chair. I could draw a better one. She said, no, different one. I said, no, a better one. I could draw a better one there. She said, no. You mean a different one? And Leslie come out and he said, what's the problem here? I said, I could draw a better. He said, you can what? I said, I can draw a better chair than the one in the window. He said, well, come in and show me. So I went in there. I'm still holding my interview with Sanderson's and I drew the chair. And he said, would you like a job here? I said, yes. He said, what's that in your hand? I said, that's a go to Sanderson's wallpapers. He said, well, we don't need that, do you? They tore that up. He said, you're working here. So I'm working for Leslie Honig. And Rosa complaining about the drawing by Graham Sutherland that they gave Winston Churchill on his 80th birthday. And right. She said, what a terrible drawing. What did he do? Made him look like a terrible, decrepit old man. No wonder Churchill didn't like it. No wonder it's rumoured that it's been destroyed. It's never been hung. It's been destroyed. His wife destroyed it. So I thought, Clementine destroyed it. Mm. I thought, next year, I'm going to do a drawing of Churchill, but like I remembered him during the war, with a victory sign.
Yeah.
With a big smile. So I drew that. Big smile. Didn't do the victory sign. And right. Then I went to Laszlo and I said, what do you think of this, Laszlo? I'm going to send this to Winston Churchill. He said, hang on. We work for Bernard Sunley. Now, Bernard Sunley built a lot of airfields for Churchill during the war.
Right.
Very, very well. So I will let Bernard Sunley have this and then he will send it to Winston. And that was it. I thought, there you are, Laszlo. Let's see what happens.
Yeah.
I heard Rosa laughing. I never heard her laugh all the time I've been there. Said, we have our Rembrandt. I went in. She said, I said, yes. She said, That's Mr. Winston Churchill on the phone. I picked it up.
What? Wow. No way.
Said, is that Trevelyan? He said, Winston here. Be at the Burnett Sunley Buildings. 11:30, Wednesday. Oblige. Said, what does oblige mean? You've got me there.
I said, yeah. Do it. Yeah.
So I went to see Winston and he was sitting in the chair. He never got up. He put his little hand out and I put my hand out and he shook my hand and he said, I expected someone so much older. I was born in 1934, sir. Oh, 1934, you was five when war was declared. Where was you? Was you evacuated? I said, no, I lived in London. My father had a grocery shop. You live in London? So you're a boy from the Blitz? I said, yes, boy from the Blitz. He said, what was it like during the war? Can you remember? I said, I do remember. You never said to anybody, see you tomorrow, because you didn't know if you would. Yeah. I know, I used to go and play football in Bushcastle Park, and I'd get there and suddenly say, where's Jimmy so-and-so? And they'd say, oh, it was the bombies away. They were bombed. Yeah, they were bombed out. I think he's all right. Or you see another boy come to school, say, look what my dad got me. He's in the war, and he fetched these home, look. And I'm showing the shrapnel, and he's showing me little shells. I'm thinking, God, what wonderful things you got. And then you wouldn't see him again because his dad had been killed at the front. I said, yes, bad time. He bad said, time. But remember, I said, but I knew we'd win the war because of you. He said, yes, but I was just the war. The nation was the lion. They were.
Right.
Thank you, sir. I very much like this drawing. I think it's excellent. I said, well, could I have that in writing? He said, better than that, I'll sign it. And he signed it. And it's still in my bank. That was 1955.
You haven't sold that in, Paul.
So I was happy that Winston signed it. And I look back and someone said to me, what was the happiest time drawing? And I said, well, I like doing the drawings for the national newspapers. I like doing that. I like illustrating the books that I do. See, I'm lucky now because so much has changed. I can talk to my wife and she can type. And whatever I'm saying is there, and that goes into a book. So if I'm doing some putting, I'm doing something on golf.
Yeah, you're putting books, yeah.
If I'm doing something on football, it's great. And that's why I've always, it's the fans. Look, when I spent a lot of time in America, half my life in America, because I was over there. Listen, this is true. I was over there and I'm working for IMG, Mark McCormick, Ronald Palmer, Jack Nicklaus, and Gary Player. And
incredible.
Goldstrip, which got into 1,500 newspapers. It holds the record as the biggest, largest syndicated strip, Goldstrip of all time. No one's got to know those papers.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, working for Mark McCormick, I'm working over there in America, and I can't get on with New York, where Mark is, and big high skyscrapers. You never see the sun. And I said, the only thing when I look up at the sky, I expect to see Johnny Weissmuller in
swinging from across the sky.
In New York.
Or maybe Superman. Flying.
When he jumped off them buildings, I said, but he said, I'll send you to Cleveland with Jay LaFay. He looks after Jack Nicklaus. I said, okay. So I went to Cleveland and I went to see the Cleveland Indians and I couldn't believe They had fireworks when a big hit was made. They had, as you made your way to the ground, they'd be giving away T-shirts. I know it had an advertising slogan on it.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe that. And I walked into the ground and they had the cheerleaders and they could dance, these six. And just like Busby Barkley and all the great Hollywood
Yeah, yeah.
I pulled her legs, went up at the same time, legs went down at the same time. I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, bah. And they were, I thought, something's got to be done. We've got to do this when I come back. The railings were up. I thought, what's the railings are up? I never had that when I was at football, railings. So
I thought,
they've got to come down. They've got to come down. So I thought, I saw all that entertainment. I'll go and see Bill Nicholson at Spurs because I knew Spurs. It was Alf Ramsey and Bill Nicholson. I did a drawing for Lily White of Alf Ramsey heading the ball. Boom. And Alf said to the editor, Ralph L. Finn, can you send Trevelyan along and bring the drawing, the original? I told him, he's going to sign it. Alf. When it's signed, run along. Yeah, Alf. Alf, credit. That's the only time someone's tore up one of my drawings.
Alf Ramsey tore up.
Ripped it up.
Tore it to pieces. What was that? He said, the higher the ball in the air, the lower the standard of play. What do I do best? I said, you pass the ball for 20, 30 yards straight to a teammate. He said, that's right. That's what I do best. Want to do someone heading the ball? Draw that loft out. Not on the wall. God damn it. Don't do me. You want to draw someone tackling? Then draw Bill Nicholson. I said, I understand. Draw what they do best. I understand, Alf. I made a mistake. So when I was doing Roy the Rovers, he would phone me up and say, Paul, you got Roy leaning too far back. The ball would have gone over the bar.
Right, okay.
I said, it looks good though, doesn't it? He said, no, the ball would have gone over the bar. So let me still my tip. Alf, all Bill Nicholson ever said to me was, sharpen a few more pencils. Sharpen a few more pencils, Paul. Get busy. He just wanted you to work. He
was always, Bill Nicholson.
What are you doing here at the training ground? You should be back on the joint. Boom, 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 boom. So they were my teachers. That was Alf Ramsey and Bill Nicholson. They were tremendous. And that was, people say to me, how did you get into show business? You worked with Norman Wisdom, you worked with Arthur Askey, you worked with Tommy Cooper. Yeah. Billy Connolly, you worked with them all. You met Frank Sinatra, you met... I said, yeah, I know. But how do you get... Because I used to stand behind the goal. And if I stood behind the goal to draw, I mean, I'm doing sports drawings, right? I want to draw the footballers.
Yeah.
So in the first half, I see all the forwards. I know the Spurs players, but I don't know the other team. So I'm watching them. I'm watching the forwards. Boom, 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 boom. Oh, his hair's that like that. Oh, he does his hair different. Oh, his face is a lot sharper than I thought. Got that nose is very sharp. I can see that. I must get that right. That's that. And then in the next half, I've got all the defenders. I'm looking at the defenders. I'm checking them out. Oh, this is that guy. That's that guy. And I'm making notes. I'm doing little drawings. And all the time, I can hear the fans. And they're saying, don't know what you're doing, ref. Don't know what you're doing. Ref, you're an idiot. A referee. Next, knocking the ref. When I was at college, Johnny Olibred was in the commercial side. I was in the technical side. Johnny Olibred played for Tottenham, and he also played for Southampton. He was in the commercial side. I'm in the tech side. And I thought, the teacher's always in the same half of the field when people are coming by, knocking goals. I was in goal. I was a goalkeeper. Knocking goals past me, and they're offside. I thought, Paul, you've got a whole summer to learn. Referee's whistle. Learn the whistle. Run out. Sorry, mate. Offside.
Oh, that's how you did.
But what the bloody hell's that for, ref? All up, kicking the field. And then yeah, and the teachers spotted this and they said, all those whistles you do. I said, yes. We know it's you. I said, well. You can't do it in inter-house matches, all right? Cut it out. But when we play other colleges, you can.
You're fine.
Lost in college after that. It's tough. Onside or offside? I blew them up. So, it was all these things, watching the films, reading the comics, not being able to read or write, not knowing anything about history or geography or not even knowing my address, I don't know my address. Have you asked me my address? I don't know. This is true. I mean, I went out from, I do a power walk at 4 o'clock every morning. I'm up at four because I'm terrified of laying in bed. I get up, I run straight into the bathroom, I look in the mirror, and if I see my face, I go, wait, you've got another day, boy. You've got another day. You've got another day. Make it pay. Make it pay. Boom, boom, boom. I'm happy as Larry if I see my face in the mirror when I get up of a morning. And I go out 4 o'clock in the morning doing a walk, and suddenly a police car come up. This is a couple of years ago. I've been here 17 years. And 2 years ago, a police car come up. Where's your dog? I said, what do you mean, where's my dog? I said, got a dog. I'm on a walk. Are you on a walk, are you? Yeah. You're walking a bit fast, aren't you? I said, that's right. What, you getting away from something? I said, no. Look, we got some trouble in Bedford. Get in the car. We want to have a word with you.
What?
Where do you live? I said, I don't know my address, but I know where I live. Well, get in the car and take us there. I said, all right. You go down this road. Go. Now you're losing us. Now what are you trying to do? I said, no, I'm not. I'm taking you back. These are the shortcuts. Go down here, turn here, turn there, turn right. And then they said, that's my house. That's where I live. Stay in the car. There was two of them. I said, all right. They get out. Knocks on the door. One of them. My wife opens the door. Do you know that gentleman in the car? She says, yes, that's my husband. He said his address. He said he doesn't. He's Paddington Bear. All his coats. When I go, I've got his address. He's putting it in. She said, look, and she got one of the coats down from the coat hanger. She said, look, you see for yourself. He doesn't know it. He doesn't know his address. She said, I just thought he was being smart and got us to drive him home instead of walking home. I said, no, he doesn't know it. So that is my life. It's all been film fun.
Wow.
Film fun annuals with Abbott and Costello on the front, with Long and Hardy. I've got all in my loft, I've got lots of comic books, but I've got a lot in the bank. I keep, but the special ones, I like to keep them. I've got that one of fun out of it, that with Norman Wisdom on the front. But I've got some unbelievable annuals because I was in them. And I look back at the drawing and I think, they were good to use it. Well, I wasn't that good. But they did use them. I was happy.
You were and you are very good. So, yeah, don't worry about that. You are one of the grandmasters. You are one of our Rembrandts. You definitely are.
You are indeed. Indeed you are. Can I just quickly, Paul? So it's been brilliant listening to you.
Yeah, it's been great.
Just a couple. Well, see if we can fire a couple of questions at you.
Yeah, we don't listen too long, but
listening to you there, it comes across to me: are you happy with your artwork, or are you still striving? Feel that you can get better, and there's aspects that you can do better. Because watching you and everything, it just seems to me like you're always, I can do that, or someone says this to me, and I could do that better. And it's always like you're almost striving for this, for what's in your eyes, the perfect piece of artwork. Did you feel that you've done that or not? I mean, to us as fans, trust me, we all think your artwork's brilliant. But just saying, listening to you here.
I'll answer that. If you come to my house and everybody who visits me always says the same thing. You've not got one of your paintings framed hanging on the wall. Not one. These, look at these. They're not framed.
Yeah.
And the reason I've done that is because I always say the same answer. I'm still trying. I'm still striving to do the perfect one. I haven't done it yet. I haven't done it. I keep thinking I'll crack it this time. And I think, you've got to go again. You've got to go again. I get great compliments from people. They're saying, oh, you captured so-and-so. I showed it to my wife and tears come in her eyes. And I think, oh, great, great, great. I look at it and I think, I could have done that better. I could have done that better. I remember saying to Paul Gascoigne, can you ever look back on a match and say, that was perfect? He said, never. There's always a game when I should have done this. I should have done that. Next time I will. And you're always striving to be that bit better. Always striving. He said, what about you as an artist? I said, I've never done the perfect draw. I've never done anything that I can say, frame this. But look, all my paintings, look, they're this on metal.
Wow, sorry for the listeners showing us a messy.
Hang it up. I can't do that. I look at it and I think, no, It's not good enough. It's not worth getting framed and putting up on the wall. But what I do, the ones I sold, the eight I sold, these were as close as I've ever got.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, that I would say, if someone was to say to me, "What is the closest you got to a face?" I'll shut down. I don't know if it'll come up on the screen, but that is Bobby Moore.
Oh wow, yeah. Just if you just lift it a bit higher for us, yeah.
Now that is as close as I get, but when I look at it, I could have done the hair better. You've got the smile, but your hair's not right.
So for the listeners, just for us mere mortals, trust me, folks, we'd all love to be able to have drawn a picture of half as good as that, a quarter of as good as that. But Mr. Trevelyan is showing us his frustration. And trust me, it was a fantastic picture. But it's brilliant to hear. It really is. Very interesting to hear.
Paul, if I may, just one more question then for me, really, I guess, really is just to touch on. I mean, I guess the first time I would have come across you, what would have been "You Are the Ref," and I know it started as "Hey Ref," didn't it, way back in when you're doing Lily White, and then yeah. So just tell us a bit about that and how the idea came about.
Well, as I told you, I always stood behind the goal, and I could hear the lads shouting out, "You don't know what you're doing, ref, ref." And I, when I was at school, when I used to become the referee, blow them up. Teacher said, "Look, if you're going to be the referee, here's a book of rules. It's an FA book. Read that and learn the rules." So I did. I learned all the rules. So when I did and heard these people keep shouting their heads off, and that's how I got into show business, because they used to say, I'd listen to them talking to their mates, and they'd say to their mates, "Who cut your hair? The council?" And then someone said, "I had a suit like that. My one fitted me." And bloody hell, I can't believe these people. They're all having a go at one another. So when I used to go to football dues, I'd say, "Yeah, Paul, get up and tell us some of the remarks you hear behind the goal." And Phyllis Rounce, who found Tony Hancock, Terry Thomas, Charlie Drake, all of them. She found them all. And she said, she saw me, and she said, "People are saying that you do all these things." I said, "Yes." I said, "The remarks I hear standing behind the goal." So she said, "Well, I don't want the act, but I want the performer." And I said, "No, I just do the act. I just do football things, that football crowd. Just mention what the crowd's saying." And they're always on about the refs. And I've got a thing going, which is "Hey, ref," in the Sunday People. She said, "I'm not interested in that." She said, "You got good timing. So I said, "Look, I'll tell you what. Could you, in 1 year, say I can do a summer season with Norman Wisdom?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Pardon?" She said, "Yes, Norman Wisdom. You do a summer season with Norman Wisdom. You close the first half."
Wow.
She said, "No." So that's what happened. That's how I got involved in show business. That was Phyllis Rounce. She knew everybody. Now, I, answering your question on "You Are the Ref," I knew the rules, and I did that in the People. "Hey, ref. Hey, ref. What are you doing, ref? Hey, what you doing? Hey, ref." So I thought, I'll do that. And someone said to me, "What was the most unbelievable question ever sent in when you was doing You Are the Ref?" It became "You Are the," because the shoot wanted it. They liked it in the People. They said, "Use Hey, ref. It's not right." And you think of another name. I said, "Well, what about You Are the Ref? You Are the Ref. You Are the Ref." They tell them, get the guys behind the thing. "You're the ref. Okay. What?
If right. you know yeah.
the rules, answer these." I said, "That's it." And they used to get send them in. And people said to me, "What was the most unusual one?" And I said, "The most unusual one was a footballer who had a load of courage the night before. And he was standing behind in front of the goalkeeper, and he backed into him, and then he let go an enormous fart. And it went in the end, and the goalkeeper went like that and he headed the ball in. Well, he was out of goal. So that is what they sent in. So I didn't know what to do with that one. I did it with I started it with Clive Thomas. Thomas. He was and then I saw the cup final 81. And that Keith Hackett gave a penalty. And I thought that was never a penalty. Miller brought the player down with it's never a penalty. And God, came away from the ground. That was ridiculous, Caesar. Didn't know what he was doing. There's never a penalty. And then I bumped into Keith Hackett because I was getting to know all the refs. And Keith said to me, "That was a penalty, Paul." I said, "I know, I've seen it now." I said, "I've got Clive Thomas doing You Are the Ref in Shoot magazine." He said, "I know, I've seen it." I said, "But the thing is, he sometimes does the questions, but I have to wait sometimes 2 or 3 days and I get no time to draw them up properly, and I could draw them a lot better." He said, "I'll give you them back by return." That's the part. He said, "You can have it back by return." I said, "Right, well, I'll phone you up tomorrow and I'll give you 3 questions. And then I asked him the question, he gave me the answer. As I asked the question, he gave me the answer. I thought, I can't believe it. And I asked the next question. So I had it done. So from that moment on, I always worked with Keith Hackett.
How did you break it to Clive Thomas? Gave him a red card.
Pardon?
You gave him a red card. You give Clive Thomas a red card. Yeah. Sent him off.
Look, I'm at Sheffield with Keith in May. I don't know. Don't ask me the date, but I'm the wife will tell me when I'm there. But I'm there because they're doing the Pelly statue. They're making a Pelly
right,
statue.
Yeah.
And we're doing, the two of us on stage. I'll tell you, I'll send you the invite if you want to go, but you won't go. But your police should approve to you that I'm doing it. They're doing the Pelly statue because Pelly went to, it's the home of football, Sheffield.
Yeah,
yes.
The oldest club,
Pelly said when he was there. So they're going to make a Pelly statue and they're making it from all my drawings. And they're putting them all together and they can do things in, I don't know what they do now, but they can get it all together. And next year, there's a statue made, but it's from my drawings. And I'm not a thing to it.
Well, that's something for listeners, that anybody in the Sheffield area, if you're interested, or in the Yorkshire area, then that's something to look forward to, definitely.
Is that the National Football Museum there, isn't it? Is that something else?
No, I think that moved. I think it's moved, isn't it? I think it's moved a few times. I can't even remember what it was. Yeah, it might be. Paul, what else? We've kept you for quite a while, so I really appreciate your time. What else are you up to then? So you've got that to look forward to. Is there anything else? What other projects? You must be working on other stuff.
I've got the Spurs book coming out, which I'm so pleased with that. I've got he's an engineer, and he's building a putting course. And he's got on to me, and he said... and I heard it on the television last night. They said, "Mark Carey, he does that." And they said, "Yes, but so many golfers are now doing that variation of that method where the hands are apart. Is it to do with the shoulders? Is it the hand?" And all it happened was that I was with Pete Allison. He asked me to draw a little putting game they got. Mm. And I turned up and I saw my putting game. I saw the box. I thought it was terrific. And I looked at the putting game and they had little bits to get the holes in. Spear sizes, that was small. That was a bit bigger. That was 3 of them. And you had to putt into them. And I watched Alice and Thomas doing it. And I thought, I could get that in there. And Alice said, "Well, do it." And I bent down. I went like that. And he said, "What are you doing? That's not a grip." I said, "Well, I can knock it in with this." And they said, "Do you reckon you can?" I said, "Yeah." Boom, straight in. Boom, straight in. Boom, straight in. I knocked in 3. They said, "Why is that?" "That's the way you do it. It's the Varden grip." I said, no, that box, that left-hand box, I don't want that hand in the way. I want just that. And that's what they do now. They take the hand through, they hold with the left, take that hand through, and that frees the hand. So this guy who's doing this putting course, he's an engineer, and he's doing this for me, and I'm involved with this now, and I'm going to do it. I want to do it. I'm also got very heavily involved with Alzheimer's. And
Brilliant.
Yeah,
I worked with Dixie Dean, and he fractured his skull. And I, what's the secret? How you learn to, you come back and score 60 goals in a season that you fractured your skull. I can't believe that. And he said, well, I'll tell you what I did. And so it's all these, I mean, when I first talked to Cassius Clay, when I talked to Arnold Palmer, I mean, Arnold Palmer gave me the secret for my putting game. And I don't miss it. I've got a video. I can show you a video. I'll send it to you. A video, and on the back, I challenge the top 50 golfers in the PGA Tour. Top 50. That's Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus, Gary Player, Tiger Woods, Spieth, name them all. The top 50 for $1 million. And the money goes to the charity. The one who loses, the money goes to a charity. That's on the back of the video I did, showing you how to Because I said, and everyone, when I first did it in 1970, they called me the putter nutter. They said, I've got one with Elliot Hat with a golf ball on top. Call me the putter nutter. I said, no, that's the way to putt. That is the way to putt. And now so many have come away from, and Tom Scott, who used to be Golf Illustrated, did it in the 70s. And Tom Scott said to me, as long as you live, Paul, and I don't care if you live to be 100. No, I might live to be 100. He said, I don't care if you live to be 100. If it was good enough for Barden, it was good enough for Sarazen, it was good enough for Ben Hogan, it was good enough for Jack Nicklaus, Gary Player, Arnold Palmer, Billy Casper. They all did it, Paul. That's the way you putt. I said, it's the wrong one.
It's the wrong one.
The right way to putt. I say this to Michelangelo. Say to Michelangelo, put your hands together in the Varden grip. Now try and draw. Okay. But drawing's a straight line. Pattern's a straight line. Pattern's a straight line. Take the hand away. I can still cut metal. I can still cut card. I never use a ruler. I was cutting a piece of card my dad had bought during the war. Very expensive. And I said, oh, Dad, oh, look what I've done. The ruler slipped. He said, pardon? I said, the ruler slipped. He said, oh, did it? Oh, show me that. Oh, get the ruler. Oh, here's the ruler. Here's the ruler. Let's see if it slips. Does it move? How did the ruler slip? You slipped. Now, see?
Yes.
Draw all the lines down, as many as you can, and then learn to cut them just like that. And then when you finish, you don't need a ruler anymore. And I don't use a ruler anymore. I can cut a piece of card like a machine. Even now, my hand is just as steady now as it was when I was 3 years old. Nothing's changed. And yet I get no respect. Do you know that? I'm 90. I go into a shop, this is true, and I'm standing there waiting, and someone's fiddling about, got their wallet and fiddling. And when I'm waiting there, I go, come on, yeah. And they say to me, she's nearly 80, you know? She's nearly 80. He's in his 70s, you know? Something like that. No one's ever got up. I get onto tubes with my mates, and they're 10 years younger than me. And people get out and give them shakes. No one's ever got up and given me a seat.
It's because it's
giving me on a train.
It's because of the.
Don't get any respect.
It's because of the vision of youth you are, Paul. I mean, look at you. You look like 60. You really do. You don't. You look. Yeah, you do. There's no way you look 90. It's unbelievable.
Well, if you ever get on the tube and I'm on it, Paul, you'll see this bald, fat bloke sat on the side, just with his mouth open, staring at you in awe.
Paul, it's been so much fun.
It really has.
We don't want to keep you too long, but I mean, hearing, you know, what you've done over your life, it's just mind-blowing, really. And, you know, we've lots more to look forward to as well. And, you know, for me, I know Paul will say his own in a minute, but it's been a real honour speaking to you today. It's been such good fun. I know the listeners will really enjoy it. Just seeing all the different comics and annuals you worked on over the years and the stories you've got, my God, we could be here for hours, couldn't we? And it's just, wow, superb. Paul, did you want to say something?
Well, do you know what? And obviously, I was saying this with a bit of a smile. We were going to interview you today, Paul. I think we asked you one question, and that's all we needed to ask you. But it was absolutely brilliant. I've loved every second of it, listening to you. And I could listen to more. And I hope I'm not being too cheeky here, but honestly, we wish you all the best with that statue in Sheffield. And I will take you up on the invite if you genuinely mean it, but I'm going to send an invitation to you. It would be fantastic to hear from you after that, and we'd love to have you back on, and we can chat about that and some other things as well. But it's been an absolute honour and a privilege to meet you tonight. Thank you, Paul.
Well, I've loved being on, and I never enjoy more than talking about my life in comics and comic books, and that is one thing no one can stop me talking about. I'll talk on and on and on. So thank you very much, because you two are the best. You're better than me. Remember that. You're better than me. I'll always be number two when you two are there. I'm a happy number two. I've a wasted talent, as they said to me.
That's brilliant stuff. Cheers. Brilliant. Thanks a lot, Paul. Well, we're back. Oh my God. Paul, that was amazing. What did you think?
Do you know what? I thought it was brilliant. And I said it there at the end when we said goodbye to him. I loved it in that we had a list of questions. I can't even really remember us asking him the first question. You did
sure.
Well. You piped it a couple of times.
I think I might have done.
You did. And at the end, I managed to get that one question. And which I said, it really came across, I mean, in a good way, that his own, not frustration might be strong, but you could tell like that desire to always do a better piece of work, always do that. And but yeah, I thoroughly loved it. And do you know something? We are a podcast, but the there's only thing there is actually seeing him for the listeners. That would have been actually, I think they call them vodcasts, would have been a brilliant one, because he went through the gamut of emotions as well. He just, trust me, he wasn't just talking, was he? He was moving around and he was waving his arms.
Well, he's animated. No pun intended, but he is animated. Wow, what an incredible, incredible person. It's been a privilege to meet him, albeit on the screen. But yeah, you're right. It's if anybody's get a chance to see him interviewed on YouTube or something like that, then please do. Maybe we might put this out on YouTube at some point in the future. But I mean, you think the stuff he covered, and you're right, we didn't get one question, or maybe we got one or two in. But, you know, Churchill, Jack Nicklaus, he goes from talking about the Blitz to being on the bill with, that was really touching and poignant.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Incredible. Prince Philip, Norman Wisdom. He's ticking
Cassius
all the boxes.
Clay. It's unbelievable.
Clay.
I'd like to know, is there someone else out there that's got that? Sorry, I don't know, you're a Millwall fan, so I used to listen to Danny Baker's show, and he used to play something like, I can't remember what it was, but some kind of bingo game, and like top the who you've met sort of thing. I think you'd really struggle to beat Mr. Trevelyan. I really do.
Just a ball of energy, really. And he's 90. He's just incredible. And yeah, obviously he told us a bit about his time in the comics, in turn down for Beano and Dandy, and getting you know, drawing Roy, and you know, he wasn't comic enough. And but I mean, the listeners, I think we said during the interview, but yeah, he was holding up all of those annuals he's got stories in, wasn't he?
Yeah, Scorcher, it was just unbelievable.
Hurricane, Lion.
I was blown away. And it, so just again, as Matt said to the listeners, he'd actually got the annuals, he had his tabs in them to show us, ready to open the pages where his work was, like the monsters he showed us. I mean, and he showed us, unfortunately again, because we're a podcast, but he showed us the flyer for the billboard of when he was with Norman Wisdom. It just, yeah. Do you know something, like you said, 90 years old, I tell you what, the energy of Daley Thompson, I think, when he was a teenager. unbelievable. Human dynamo, I think I would call Mr. Trevelyan.
It's just superb. Brilliant stuff. That's great. Yeah. And Yeah, thanks for sitting with me there, Paul, just listening to him.
Yes.
It wasn't a combined interview. That was just a sit and listen.
We just listen, yeah. No, I think we've got a little bit of experience. I think actually that it's interesting. I know we're sort of back, I think, on the next pod, aren't we, to a bit more of the normal features and things.
Yeah.
But I think we've been very lucky. You know, Galway says it, you know, from Pete Nash, Barry Tomlinson, David Skew, obviously friend of the show. Well, I think they all are friends of the show. Giles Corran, that you did on your own. I think we've been very lucky. And of course, obviously, that's not to forget, you know, Neil Berrigan, Ed Taylor. And I know I do that. Ozzy Lee. I just think it's been a great run of interviews. And I think it's brilliant to have these interspersed as well with the listeners. And then the actual people that have worked in the industry as well.
Yeah, spot on. Yeah, so as Paul rightly says, we'll be back in a couple of weeks with a kind of more so-called normal episode. We're not quite sure exactly what's going to be on it yet, because we'll see which members of the team and squad are going to be available for the weekend. But that'll be episode 76. You can find us, I won't go through all of them, but you can find us on Facebook, on the Border Rovers 40 Years After and the Champ We Are United Picture Story Monthly site, and also on Twitter with the champ_RARE, and we have the Pro Board site as well. So I think if you just Google Champ We Are United,
I'll just quickly say, champweareunited.proboards.com. But I think you're bored of me telling you how many posts there are on that, but that's where
I
we
think
started.
It's 50,000.
See, I knew you'd do it.
We
for
did
me,
it.
Matt.
We did it for you, Goal. We did
exactly. Here in spirit.
Always. No impressions, no Kings of Leon, but not for this week anyway, not for this week. Excellent stuff, mate. Okay, well, that was good fun. Do you want to say your goodbyes?
Well, yeah, another episode done, another thoroughly enjoyable one, and goodbye, everybody, and see you on the next one.
Yeah, and it's goodbye from me. Cheers.